Brothers and sisters of Zion Lutheran Church, may the meditation of our hearts and the word of my mouth be acceptable to Him, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we come before You to praise and honor You. We are ever thankful that You have revealed Yourself to us, Your beloved creation. Help us to always worship and honor You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever, three in one. Amen. At times, some things can seem a little strange to us when they are one thing while also being another. As an example, we are all saints, and we are righteous before God, while we are still sinners. How can that be? At a quick glance, that would seem to be a contradiction. An easier example to understand would be a marriage. A husband and wife are two separate people, but they are at the same time one flesh. We understand this easier because it is so common in our society today. What is truly difficult for us to understand sometimes is the great and amazing union between the three persons of God, the Trinity, and the fullness of God. For we cannot perceive how there can be three all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present persons, and yet only one Almighty God. However, this is, in fact, what has been revealed to us in Scriptures. It is what has been revealed to us by God. But what does God reveal of Himself, and when did He do it? All answers can be found within Scripture itself. God's revelation towards us doesn't start only when He calls the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, when He makes known to them by Moses that He has chosen them over all nations of the world. It doesn't even begin in the calling of Abraham out of his home city in Ur to travel to the land of Canaan and inherit it. It's a journey, by the way, that is over 700 miles long. No, the revelation of God is, and His of what God is and what His magnificent power is, begins for us at our beginning. When our time, our existence begins, so does the revelation of God, our Father, and our Creator. He made Himself known to us when they came down to make us in their image. And this, of course, the they and their language refers to the first chapter of Genesis, where it says, "Let us make them in our image." This is a clear reference to the Trinity. It also shows or reveals to us that all members of the Trinity were present at creation. All were there when man was formed from the dust of the earth, and then when woman was formed from the bone of man. For when one member of the Trinity is present, all are present. One cannot be separated from the other. As St. John attests to this in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This familiar passage further gives us proof to the nature of the Trinity. For we know that the Word, which is spoken of here, is in fact Jesus Christ, Verse 2 states that the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the beginning with God, which in turn means that Jesus is indeed God. Detractors to this idea may say that this was, or even today is, a mere projection onto who Jesus is. His followers, us, they claim, want him to be God, so they equate this good and humble anti-establishment teacher to be the God of the Old Testament. In this, they are wrong. For we do not impose our will or our reason unto the Scriptures. Jesus himself gives further clarification on this doctrine of the Trinity. In the reading for today, Christ uses the plural pronouns of we and our when speaking to Nicodemus of the witness which Christ brings from heaven. This, of course, is referring to the other members of the Trinity along with Christ Jesus. There is, however, a better testimony to the divinity of Jesus Christ and the Godhead, the shared Godhead of Jesus. When defending himself against the Jews and their accusations of him being possessed by a demon, Jesus states that Abraham, their forefather, rejoiced to see his day, Christ's day. The Jews were naturally perplexed by this, since Abraham died many centuries past, prior to their time. So they ask him what he means. And Jesus' answer to this cements him as one with the Father of old. Jesus states that before Abraham was, I am. This statement from Christ, his proclamation of the I am, goes back to when God called Moses from the burning bush and stated that he, God, should be called I am. To this proclamation, the Jews sought to stone Jesus to death because why? He so openly equated himself by claiming the name of the Most High, equaling himself with the Father in heaven. So for us, proclaiming that Jesus is God, which we do, we are not projecting our own hopes, our own desires upon him, but we are rather holding true to his true doctrine, the true essence of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God. And just like Christ is, the Spirit is testified of within Holy Scripture. The Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit that proceeds from the Father, is the Holy Spirit, the Helper, which Christ has sent from the Father. The Spirit is not, however, a product of Christ's resurrection, or it is a fulfilled promise to his disciples. No, rather, the Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. In Genesis, before our creation, we read that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. When this person of the Trinity is so openly named, it's easy to begin to understand the structure of the Trinity, of the Godhead. We begin to see that the Father, creator and maker of all things, is God. Also, Jesus Christ, who is the Word that was present at creation, is God, fully divine. And we see that the Holy Spirit, who was there brooding over the deep, is also God. For when one member of the Trinity is present, all are present. One cannot be separated from the other. When Jesus comes to us to lead us to repentance and salvation, it is not only Jesus that does this, but the entire Trinity. The The Father takes you under his wings. The Spirit gives you peace to your weary souls. God is Spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and truth. But we, who are born into sin and deserving of our wages, cannot worship God in spirit, let alone in truth. At least we couldn't. Not until Christ came to reconcile us to God, all mankind to God, to our Father who is in heaven. He has done this by his great and wondrous sacrifice of his broken body and his precious flowing blood. Through him, Jesus has taken our sins to the cross with him. On that dreadful hill, he put to death our sins, our anger, our lust, our secret desires, our dark doings, our depression and anxieties, and our fears were all put to death as he disgracefully hung there in our place on that infamous tree. Now, because he is risen, we are able to worship God fully. And yet he still comes to us, even after everything that he has done for us. He comes to us by means of his blessed sacraments. In baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit and become children of God. The Spirit opens our understanding of the Scriptures so that we may turn from our sins and fully believe the promise of salvation given to us by Christ. In the Lord's Supper, we are fed that same body and drink that same blood of Jesus that was broken and shed for us those many centuries ago. And now Jesus dwells within us, and we in him, as he promised he would for us. Because of all this, because of his life and death and his resurrection, we are able to worship the Holy and Divine Trinity. For when one member of the Trinity is worshipped, all are worshipped. One cannot be separated from the other. Because God first revealed himself to us through the prophets of old, and now through the living, dying, and resurrection of his Son, we are able to know him, the Almighty God. And we know his love for us, his most beloved children. He calls us to salvation and repentance of sin. He desires all mankind to be saved and to worship him in spirit and truth. Because of this revelation and the indwelling of God, we are able to worship him in spirit and truth unto life everlasting. Amen. Now may the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guide and guard us, and may we never refrain from praising his most glorious name, so that we may join the saints and angels in their ceaseless praise. Amen.